Always appreciate the opportunity to come to share with you, shepherds. It's a great ministry providing care and love for people with intellectual disabilities. And it is true we're going through, try to transition there, shepherds, moving more to from residential, long-term residential care to the college and shorter-term care in the community and community-based care. So it is quite a time of transition. The college is growing, and it will take over the campus in a couple of years. The whole campus will be the college, and we will have about 100 and some in the college. And the college is regionally accredited and is recognized by the U.S. Department of Education. It's the only Christian college in the nation that reaches out to people with intellectual disabilities. So we're excited about that, and we will care, though, through a support services for people with intellectual disabilities. They'll just live in the community. And more and more of the people, when they do come to Shepherds, that's where they want them, in the community. And so community is quite the thing. And talking about community groups, my daughter belongs to a community group. So when she says she has a couple little kids, she texts out, "I'm going to be at the park this morning. Anybody want to join me?" And then five mothers will come and be at the park. And then my daughter-in-law, same way. They live in a little town called Bedford, Virginia. And she'll text, "Hey, she's got twins, and she has three kids under three, so she does have a handful." But she'll text, same thing, "I'm going to be down at the park, I'm going out with the kids." And five mothers or six will show up, same thing. They're all a part of that network, and it's a good way to be connected in a community. Well, we're thankful to be here, and always want to give an opportunity for people from Shepherds to come and participate. So I got my friend Sean. Sean, why don't you come on up and share a little bit too? And I appreciate Sean coming and being a part of the ministry. Well, Sean, why don't you just tell them your name, where you're from?
I am Sean Krauss. I'm from Detroit, Michigan area.
Yep, that's right. Sean's from the Detroit, Michigan area. Actually, Sean first came to Shepherd back in 2009, didn't
he? Yes, he was.
Yep, to visit. And then he decided, then you graduated. When did you graduate from high school then?
2010.
Yep. And then you decided to come to Shepherd's College, didn't you?
2013.
And, yeah, he graduated in 2013, about 2014. I asked him if he'd travel around with me a while, and he said yes.
Yeah, that's right.
What a man. I'm so thankful he did. And help out and just share a little bit about Shepherd. Well, Sean, let's talk about, where do you live?
I live in Union Grove right now.
Yep.
Living with a roommate.
Yep.
Doug, leader.
Yep, he's a good guy, isn't he? And that's at an apartment. You have an apartment, don't you?
Cathedral Court.
Yep, live in a Cathedral Court apartment. So that's really good. You guys do your own shopping, cooking?
We always do.
Yep. Are you good cooks?
We are.
Well, that is good. Boy, you need to eat healthy, don't you? And Sean, who do you work with? Who do you work?
I work at Shepherd's Enterprise, but doing the John Deere bearings.
Yep, works with the bearings. Do the packing of the bearings, John Deere bearings, Caterpillar bearings, Bobcat bearings, but mostly John Deere, don't you?
John Deere.
Yeah, I know.
I've been doing that for my mom's dad. He sold John Deere tractors.
That's right. Got to keep that in the John Deere family. Yeah, so that's great. And Sean, let's just talk a little bit about your hobbies. You got any hobbies?
That's right.
What are they?
Southern gospel music.
Yeah, that's right. Southern gospel music. You'd be a friend of Sean.
I'll go with this Friday.
Yep, Friday. Gaithers coming to town, aren't they? And last time they were there, guess who was up on stage with them?
Yeah, it was me.
Yep, friend of old Bill Gaither.
That's right.
And so that made it right up there on stage, getting all that attention. You like that, don't you?
I love it.
Yeah, I know, that's for sure. And what other hobbies you got?
Pictures.
Yep, pictures. Loves pictures. Got all those albums, all the family, friends.
That's right.
Now where do you keep your pictures?
On my phone.
Yeah, on your phone. That's where they are. Got all those pictures on the phone, so it's fun. Well, Sean, I know you always like to share a praise and a prayer request. You got a praise?
Yeah, I got a praise. I am a first-time uncle.
Yeah.
And now I have a first-time niece.
Yeah.
Her name is Jacqueline Grace O'Dell.
Yep. So that's fun, isn't it?
In one prayer request. My Christian uncle just passed away recently. He went to my old church, right in Calvary Baptist Church, right in Providence, Michigan. He knows me, and my mom, and my dad. So, and today, one more thing, just keep praying for my aunt Pam, my mom's sister-in-law. Her mom just passed away. And so the thing is, the whole family is going to be there. And all of my first cousins will be there.
Yeah, so we'll be praying for that. Well, you know, you're talking about life and death, and that's always an important thing. Right. You know, what would you share? How would you share with people that they might know the Lord?
I realize that I am a sinner. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Boy, that's so true. You know, start there. That we have missed the mark. And we are sinners. But what else would you share with
There is a penalty for sin. Romans 6:23, where the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Boy, that's so true. You know, there is a penalty to sin, but praise the Lord for the gift of God.
That's right.
And then?
God loves me so much my whole entire life. That is me, Philip Trotman, and my roommate Doug.
Yeah, he loves them all.
That's right.
I know.
And my whole family and my Kentucky cousins.
Yeah, they need special prayer. Yeah.
And that is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Yeah, praise the Lord. When you learned that, what did you do?
I asked God to save me. Romans 10:13. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yep. So what would you say today, Yar, brother?
Sinner, saved by grace. I love that one. Ready for this Friday.
Yeah.
Gaithers.
Yeah.
And that is Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, as any man should boast. Yeah. They got one guy who is gone from that Gaithers, David Phelps.
Yeah, he's
but
done.
They got a new guy, right. Ray G. Smith.
All right, praise the Lord, brother. All right. Well, that's always a hard act to follow, but boy, we appreciate Sean coming and sharing with us. We appreciate the fact that we can minister to people with intellectual disabilities so they can know the Lord, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and follow him. And that's what we want to do at Shepherds. That's what we try to encourage. And if you turn in your Bibles, we're going to talk about compassion this morning. We want to look at it from Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, as we take a look at this passage of Scripture and look at it this morning. And Luke chapter 10 is a real familiar passage, but we just want to look at one aspect of it. But I'll start reading, and you just follow along in Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Luke 10:25, it says, and if you have your Bible, just open to Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his clothing and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor among him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. And today we want to focus in on verse 33. Verse 33, as we think about compassion, and a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He had compassion on him. And we can see this fellow as he left Jerusalem, and he went down to Jericho. It's a short trip, 18 miles, but it does descend about 3,400 feet, and it is a curvy, rocky road, and there are those places where they can have robbers, evidently, and this fella fell among the robbers, and they stripped him of his clothes and beat him and robbed him and left him there half dead. I'm sure as he is laying there, he is probably saying, Oh, Lord, just send a priest by. He'll care. He'll love me. He'll take care of me. The priest came by and watched him, just looked at him and left. And same way with a Levite. And he looked on him and passed by on the other side, and he was probably saying, Don't send a Samaritan. He won't care. But it was the Samaritan that came. And I think when we take a look at this passage of Scripture and we're talking about compassion, I think this parable teaches us how compassion works. Also teaches how it doesn't work. But I think it does teach us how compassion works. And compassion works first of all. But compassion works first of all when a person cultivates a sensitivity to the needs of others. When a person cultivates in their lives a sensitivity to the needs of others. And that includes an idea that there's an awareness that people around us have needs. When we cultivate an awareness and have a sensitivity to the needs of others, we'll be a compassionate person. You know, what it does, it cultivates a tenderness, or we are cognizant of the needs of others. There might be needs in our family, or needs in our community, needs with those neighbors. And it might be physical needs, it might be spiritual needs, it might be material needs. But it's when we cultivate a sensitivity in our lives, an awareness, a tenderness to the needs of others, we become a compassionate person. But how do we cultivate that in our lives? How do we cultivate a sensitivity to the needs of others? And I think we can see that in verse 27. Verse 27, it says, And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy strength, with all thy mind and with all thy neighbor. With all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And that's how we cultivate that sensitivity, by loving God and loving our neighbors as ourselves. You know, that's how shepherds started. This started as a result of a Sunday school class, and there were a couple of families that had children with intellectual disabilities, and those families asked their Sunday school class if they could just help out in some way in bringing the kids and providing some services and maybe just watching them as they go shopping or just caring. Well, you know what that Sunday school class did? They started to cultivate a sensitivity to their needs. And they did start a program of caring for people with intellectual disabilities and reaching out. And it started to expand to such an extent that we have shepherds today and reaching people with intellectual disabilities. But compassion works when a person cultivates a sensitivity to the needs of others. And we should be aware of the needs of those people around us. People have needs. It's a needy world that we live in. Well, compassion works when a person cultivates a sensitivity to the needs of others, but compassion works also when a person shows a willingness to lend a hand. not rocket science, shows a willingness to lend a hand. You know, compassion works when a person shows a willingness to lend a hand. Boy, it always amazes us when the priest and the Levite walked by the fellow who was laying there, stripped of his clothes, beaten unconscious, lying on the side of the road, and they were not willing to lend a hand. Not willing to lend a hand. You know, compassion works when we develop a sensitivity to the needs of others, but compassion really works when we're willing to lend a hand. And that means to be involved in the life of another person. That means to be engaged in their life and the situation that they're in, that we're willing to lend a hand. There's a sense in which we are available to other people. You know, compassion works when we cultivate that sensitivity to the needs of others, but it also works when we show a willingness to lend a hand. When I grew up, we had on each side of the family an Aunt Opal. I had an Aunt Opal on my father's side of the house and an Aunt Opal on my mother's side of the house. And we had big Aunt Opal and we had little Aunt Opal. And big Aunt Opal was a big-hearted person. I remember stopping by at her house and she'd come walking briskly down the sidewalk. And I asked Aunt Opal, "Where have you been?" She says, "Well, I've been down a couple of streets down. There's a guy down there who's bedridden. And every 4 hours, somebody has to go down there and turn him over. You know, just turn him over." And, you know, that was my Aunt Opal. She was willing to lend a hand. Compassion works when she developed a sensitivity to his needs. But she was willing to lend a hand. And it's so important in our lives that we want to be engaged in the lives of others. That we want to be available to their needs. And so compassion works when a person cultivates a sensitivity to the needs of others, but willing to lend a hand. Well, thirdly, compassion works when a person is committed to using his resources to meet those needs. Well, that's where it really starts. Compassion works when we develop a sensitivity to the needs of others. We're willing to lend a hand. But thirdly, we are committed to using our resources to meet those needs. And we can see that in verse 34, 33 and 34. You know, here is this Samaritan. As he journeyed, he came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in his oil and his wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence or 2 denarii, and he gave them to the host, and he said to him, "Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee." Compassion works when a person's committed to using his resources to meet those needs. And boy, the Samaritan was willing to do it. He was willing to do it. And you know, that's the way shepherds operates. You know, people are willing to use their resources to help us meet the needs of those people with intellectual disabilities. You know, and we're so thankful, and we come here today to thank you as a church and your faithfulness in supporting our ministry, that we might be able to meet those needs. And you folks have used your resources to enable us to carry forth the ministry. The local churches across the land who have done that, we're so thankful that they have been able to do that. And people in the local churches who support us, we appreciate it so much. You know, compassion works when a person cultivates a sensitivity to the needs of other people. They're willing to use, you know, they're willing to lend a hand, but they're also willing to use their resources to meet those needs. Well, compassion works, fourthly, when a person does what's right with no thought of gain. When a person does what's right with no thought of gain, you know, the person sees the need, he's available, wants to help meet those needs. But we always ask the question, what prohibits him from doing right? Well, you know, it's always just the question. You know, here is a person lying on the side of the road. He's been stripped of all his clothes. He's been beaten unconscious. He's lying there. And there are people who are not willing to help. And what prohibits a person from doing right? What prohibits a person doing right? And I think It is the impact of our sin nature, the impact of sin. Sin permeates all areas of our lives. And sin permeates every aspect of our society. You know, it's the spiritual, the intellectual, the emotional, psychological, social, race, gender. Every aspect of our society is impacted by sin. And sin permeates our lives and society, and it warps our judgment. It warps our sensitivity. It warps our sensitivity. And so sin, you know, when sin and that sin nature takes control of our life, it clouds our vision. It closes our hearts. It distorts our discernment, our understanding. Sin destroys common sense. It rebels against wisdom. But you know what sin does? It weakens the will to do right. It weakens the will to do right. And this is what happens. And this is what happened to the priest and the Levite. It brought about uncertainty, doubt, and fear in their lives. And we've all been faced with that sometimes in our lives when we have made a choice whether to do right, and doubt and fear come into our lives, and we're not willing to do that what is right. And sin weakens the will to do right because sin magnifies selfishness. It magnifies it in our lives. So compassion, you know, works when a person cultivates a sensitivity to the needs of others. And compassion works when a person shows a willingness to lend a hand and he's willing to commit his resources to meet those needs. And he wants to do what's right with no thought of gain. But you know, next, compassion works when it has a strong emotional component. A strong emotional component. Can't have compassion without some emotion involved. A strong emotional component. When the Samaritan saw that man lying on the side of the road, he felt compassion. His heart went out to him. He had compassion on that person lying there on the side of the road. And when the Samaritan saw the person, his heart went out to him. His condition broke his heart. You know, compassion may be described as pity, touched with loving concern. You know, compassion comes straight from the heart, straight from our most innermost being. In the Mediterranean world, they used to say it came straight from their bowels. In Western civilization, we say it comes straight from the heart, you know, right from the heart, right from our innermost being. It is the outworking of feelings and emotion and loving kindness and pity and mercy that results in action. And that's what the Samaritan did, right from action. You know, he had a strong emotional component in his life. He had developed a sensitivity to the needs of others. He had developed that. He was willing to lend a hand. He was willing to use his resources to do what's right without any thought of gain. You know, compassion works when it has a strong emotional component. I remember one time when we were traveling for shepherds, and I was up at a church in Ladysmith, Wisconsin. And we were there on a Thursday. They had had a tornado. And a tornado had come into Ladysmith, and it had smashed the town. And there were several people who had lost their homes. And the church that we were to be at, and we were there, they owned two buildings. They had an auditorium, and then they had another building across the street. And the auditorium had been completely destroyed. The only thing that was left was the steeple sticking out of the basement. The steeple was the only thing sticking up out of the basement. And the little guy was with me, his name was Terry Craig, little guy, Down syndrome guy, that a real heart for people and a real compassionate guy. And so I'm up here speaking, and he comes up, and he just wants to say a word. It's always a little risky, but I said, "Okay, Terry, what do you want to say to the people?" And right from his heart. He'd seen all the destruction. He just wanted to say something. And so he says, he breaks out singing, "God will take care of you. God will take care of you." You know, Terry couldn't bring any hammer, nails. He couldn't bring anything, but it was straight from his heart, that strong emotional component. He wanted to share with them. You know, compassion works when it has a strong emotional component. But you know, compassion works when we do develop that sensitivity to the needs of others, whatever that might be. We're willing to lend a hand. We're willing to use our resources. We're willing to do what's right. And there is that emotional component. But finally, compassion works when time is not an issue. When time's not an issue. Compassion works in our lives when time is not an issue. You know, we're always amazed at the Levite and the priest. They walk by the guy lying here on the side of the road. His clothes have been taken from him, been beaten, robbed, and they had an appointment. They didn't have time. They were important people. They had an appointment they had to get to. They didn't have time to fool around with that. They were important people. They worked at the temple, and they had to get there. They had things to do. And oftentimes in our own lives, when we come across situations in which we could develop a sensitivity to the needs of others and we could lend a hand and we could just use our resources to help them and do what's right, we do not have time. We've got things to do. And we're all tied to that schedule. But we can see that for the Levite, we can see here for the Levite that he didn't have time, but we can see for the Samaritan, time was not an issue. He went to him. He poured in those wine. He set him on his beast. He brought him to an inn. I mean, I'm sure he had an appointment. I'm sure he was going somewhere. I'm sure the Samaritan had things to do and that he had that opportunity just to go on, but he said, take care of him and whatever thou spendest. When I come again, he even says, I will repay thee. So he would even come and had that time. You know, compassion always works when time is not an issue. We had a resident at Shepherd's named Eddie. Eddie was a great guy, great smile, just a wonderful person. And Eddie loved bluegrass music. Bluegrass music. He'd sing those gospel songs and that bluegrass twang. He was from Napanee, Indiana. And he would just love to sing those bluegrass songs. And just the kindest person, just kind with a smile. As he got older, he still had that real dark hair. He looked just like Ronald Reagan. He was just one of those guys that always had that dark black hair and a big smile. Always kind, gentle. All the people loved him at Shepherd's. Eddie had one little fault in his life. He loved vacuum cleaners. Loved them. Every May and June when they'd have the yard sales in Union Grove, you could count on seeing Eddie returning from a yard sale with a vacuum cleaner. He'd be bringing that thing back into Shepherd's. In fact, we built a compartment in the basement of the house he lived in, and it was stuffed full of vacuum cleaners. And not only did he love vacuum cleaners, he loved to hear them run. He just loved that sound. He'd just be out there. He'd vacuum clean that house every day or more than once. The other people would be trying to watch TV, and Eddie would be in there running that vacuum cleaner. It built nothing but friendship, I can tell you that. Anyway, he loved those vacuum cleaners. And we even did a video one time, a little promotional video for Shepherd's. We included Eddie in his vacuum cleaner because we loved Eddie, and he loved that vacuum cleaner. And so he would run it. Well, one day, Eddie was just out of routine doctor's checkup, and they found out that he had cancer. And it didn't look good. It looked like he was going to, the doctor said he might make it 6 months. And so we come back, and Eddie says, all I ask is that you don't send me away. Don't send me off someplace to die. Just let me die here in my house, in my bed, and not, send off someplace. And so he said, okay, Eddie, that's a reasonable request, and we'll honor it. But we need to have somebody sort of help out and take care, because when you're going to get a little sicker, you're going to need a little more help. And so we didn't really know who would step forth and do this. And we had another guy named Dan. And Dan is just the opposite of Eddie. Eddie is gentle and compassionate and just a wonderful person. Dan was our Harley Davidson man. He always wore his Harley vest. He always wore his Harley boots. When you meet Dan on campus and he's just going to say hi, he always grabs you and gives you, breaks three of your ribs. I mean, he just gives you that biggest hug. He was always the guy, and he was the last guy we would have thought who would say, yeah, I'll help Eddie. And Dan did. But you know what? Dan had to develop a sensitivity to Eddie's needs. As Eddie got sicker, he had to develop a sensitivity. When Eddie had to go to the bathroom, needed help in the middle of the night, Dan was right there. When he had to have a glass of water or something he needed, take some meds, Dan was always right there. He never failed. He developed a real sensitivity to his needs. And you know what? He was willing to lend a hand. Just willing to lend a hand. In the crisis that he faced in his life, he was willing to lend a hand. And then, you know, he used his resources. Dan doesn't have a lot of resources. He's got time. He's got energy. He's got that willingness to help, and that was the resources he had. And he didn't ask for anything for that. He did it without any. He wanted to do what's right without any thought of gain. And there was a real emotional component. Two Hoosiers helping each other, you know, because Dan was from Indiana too. And just willing to help. You know, compassion works when time is not an issue. Well, Eddie did go home with the Lord. And Dan was there to the very end. And he would just say, all I wanted to do was show the compassion of Jesus. You know, this parable demonstrates that compassion should characterize our lives. It should characterize our life. You know, when Jesus Christ is enthroned in the hearts of his people, appeal to be compassionate towards one another is both. It's just natural. It's practical. Being compassionate frees our hearts and it changes our lives. Christians must respond to human needs, not allowing their hearts to harden, not like the Levite, not like the priest. Their hearts were hardened. Being compassionate connects us with others. It breaks down barriers, social barriers, racial barriers, economic barriers. You know, compassion helps us to invest in what matters, investing our time, our talent, and our resources. And we can see that in verse 37. And this is our encouragement to you as a church today, that you will be a compassionate people, that you will be cultivate a sensitivity to the needs of others, and you'll be willing to lend a hand. You'll be willing to use your resources. You'll be willing to do what's right and be emotionally involved in it and not be worried about time. It says, and he said, which one of those would be the neighbor? And he said, he who showed mercy. And that's compassion, pity, mercy, you know. And then Jesus said unto him, go, do thou likewise. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the day. We're thankful that we could come and share the ministry of shepherds, a ministry of love and compassion for people with intellectual disabilities. But we're thankful also that we can share your word. We're thankful for your example. We're thankful for the person of Jesus Christ who died in our place as our substitute for our sins. We're thankful for his perfect life here on the earth, his reaching out and touching the lives of others. We're thankful for his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven. We're thankful that today he watches over us. He intercedes on our behalf. He cares for us. And someday he's coming again. We're thankful that we serve a wonderful, compassionate God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.